let's see what it is. He didn't tell me what it was. But anyway, we're here tonight, and God has been good to us. I don't know what he's all that he's done for you, but I know he's been good to you. I just know that. Okay? He's been good to you. And I'm just so thankful tonight that we are serving God, and we are in a church that believe in God, in a country that, Bill Smith said, the president said, we're not a Christian nation anymore, but anyway, I know there are a lot of Christian people in this country, and there are people that are praying. I know prayer is so important. It's such a need for prayer. And, you know, I mean, the Bible tells us to even pray for our leaders, country. Pray for Jerusalem. And and then naturally, you know, just individually, we all, you start talking to different people and you find out, you know, that if you feel like you're the Lone Ranger, then just talk to a few people. I won't say everybody have a problem, but there are a lot of people that have problems. And if you think your burden is heavier than anybody else's, just talk to a few people. And you find out that they're carrying a pretty heavy burden. So I just, matter of fact, talked to Brother, like Brother Daniels tonight. He called, and he been sick for, he said he'd been sick for a couple of weeks, but he's not been to work this week, and went to the doctor yesterday, and I can't repeat all of these. Said about this some kind of lung infection, some sort, like bronchitis, but something between bronchitis and something else. But anyway, he's really he said real weak and everything. So anyway, remember him, pray for him. I know Brother Smith is in Brownsville, Texas, at a minister's meeting, and I don't know if Sister Smith heard anything about what's been going on down there, but anyway, anytime the ministers of this group of people, this body of Christ, gather together, and you know some of the issues that's been going on anyway, so I'm not sure if any of those been some of the subjects that they talked about this week, but anytime they meet, there are things that are pressing, even Haiti, you know, the situation there. So there are issues that are pressing, and that burdens on their hearts, you know, their churches, different churches, and different needs there. So let's remember the ministry of the body of Christ as they gather down there in Brownsville. I'm glad they're having a meeting down where it's warmer than what it is up here, but it's a beautiful place down in Brownsville. I got to go a couple of times, and it's a great place. Good people that love God, and hardworking people that are. When you take the Brownsville group of people there in the church, and then the folks over in Mexico, I think a lot of times when I go to these places like it, I think about the man that started, the man that had the vision to start the work there, Brother. Help me, Brother. Brother Lewis, right?
Lewis.
Brother Lewis. And he wasn't a young man when he went down there. And but yet God has really used him. And done a great work down in Brownsville, if you ever get to go. And you know those people. They've been here in Little Rock and stayed with us. And they love God. And they're working hard. They're working with the folks in Mexico as much as they can. And with the, you know, when you work these other countries, you have to deal with the government, like Brother, I'd probably get his name, Mimo, Brother Mimo, you know, got in that situation where he couldn't come home. You know, he was in Mexico, and I can't remember how long he ended up staying over there, but anyway, he was kind of stuck there for a long time. I can't remember how long it was, but anyway, you have to deal with these governments and all these different countries, even though, 8 months? You know, so I mean, when you're working for God, but still you got to deal with man's governments and these countries, and that's what they were saying about Haiti. You know, The people there are God's people, but they may be on a corrupt government, and you have to, but you can't go around them. You know, you got to deal with, you can't bypass the government. You have to deal with them, you know, and pray that God will work something out. So anyway, that's the kind of world we live in, where when Jesus came here on this earth, he was under the Roman government. They was ruling the world. And he didn't come in there and just change all the government structure. He just dealt with it. He just did what he was supposed to do in spite of what kind of government the people was under when he got there. And sometimes, you know, you think, well, God, just why don't he just change that government? Just make it where it's a good one. Make it better. But he may just let that government stay in place. And in spite of that, he may just be able to. And some of that, you know, he may be allowing, you know, the people to be under some kind of subjection with man's government. And some of that may be good. You know what I'm saying? It may work something out. Like Brother Smith was reading that scripture in Deuteronomy about the children of Israel. You know, they went through all that struggle in the wilderness, but he said it was to humble them. You know, some of the things that we go through for our good. I don't like it, but if it's for my good, I want to be able to recognize it and be, you know, somewhat be thankful that I do recognize it, to not be upset about it, and be patient. You know, we're to have patience in the things that we go through. You know, Sister Joy sing this song about every trial and every test that I go through, or gone through, or something. You know, about trials and tests that we go through, and it was to help me. You know, I can't remember all the words of that song that she sang, but thank you, Lord, for every trial and every test that you put me through. You know, so that's you know, it may be government causing the test upon you. You know, maybe the type of government we're under. If that's what's causing our test, then we have to have the right attitude about it. You know, not we can't change every situation, but we know if God is helping us, assisting us in our trials and our tests, no matter what they are. You don't change it. You let God help you through it. So it's good to be here tonight. We're here to pray and here to have church and to reach out to the Lord, and praying is part of it. We do want to remember our needs, and I mentioned the meeting, so I'm sure other people have needs here tonight that we might want to mention. And I don't see Sister Elsie, so I know she probably need a prayer. Sister Wilkins? Okay, remember Sister Wilkins, Sister Rice, and Sister. All right. Mark and Sherry Boyd. Yes, Brother McGowan and Sister McGowan. Remember them. Sister Lynette, yes. Remember Sister Lynette. She was sick Sunday. Sister Durham. Okay. Amanda? All right, remember that request. Yes. When he left here? Remember Brother Smith down in Brownsville. Brother Philip. Okay, remember Brother Jerry York and his family? Pray for him. Okay, Brother Fred, home late for work. Okay, Brother Curtis, had to work late. Okay, remember Sister Karen. Your work situation? Okay, remember that need tonight. It was Curtis's work. Sister Watson. Sister Abraham, called in sick. Request prayer, okay. Sister Norman.
I have several. Brother Gross, he had surgery.
Yes,
it was five bypasses instead of four.
bypass.
And Treva, that lady at work, she went in and she had to have four bypasses. They did two, and then they're going to go back in and
do more. All right, I don't know if y'all hear all that. Brother Goss had surgery this morning, right? Five bypasses. And I guess he's doing okay. Mm-hmm. He's doing okay.
He's doing good.
Doing good. And then Sister Norman has some other requests about her. I know her children, Crystal and Josh. And a lady at her work, right? Had bypass surgery as well. Okay, Brother Oaks. Okay, special unspoken, Brother Sister Oaks. All right. Let's pray for these. Yes. Unspoken, Brother Keith Dodson. All right. Okay. Brother Matt. All right, Brothers Matt and Sister Reba. Make the right, give them the right place. They need. God help them. Okay. Brother Painter. Okay. Brother Painter. Shingles? Oh, Lord. Okay. Brother Painter's mom. Sister Painter here. They're considering it here, moving here. So let's pray for them that they can know God's will for their lives and help them. All right. Any other requests? Pray for this service tonight and that God will give us what we need. Yes. Right. My wife has an uncle, Coleman. This is in the hospital that I can't remember his condition. But a cousin is real bad. He's in a coma. His name is June Coleman, L.C. Coleman. And I got a sister that's in the hospital. She's better. She had I think they put stents in her arteries in her neck. But she's better. She's in a regular room, so she's doing better. And so that's a lot of things going on. Anybody? Any? Okay.
Could you pray for Bree's grandparents? We're still concerned moving here. They're going to be here while they're here. They're going to be here enough. They were real sick. They'll see how that sickness. Could you pray for them that the Lord's will they find comfortable here?
Okay. Okay, Sister Brittany's grandparents. They're considering moving here, so let's, you know, let our love shine and be felt. And we always want people to find the will of God in their lives. You know, you like to more people. Everybody like more people, but in moving like that, you know, we want them to find God's will and know that that's what He wants them to do. And know that it's right for them. So anyway, let's pray for Brother Mike. Jonathan, Brother Mike's son, Jonathan, remember him. All right, let's do that. Okay. Any other needs here? If not, then let's.
Yeah.
All right, pray that he'll let it go well for him. A job interview. Who's that? All right. I know y'all feel those burdens, don't you? You know, pay their needs and but anyway, let's stand and take these needs to the Lord and pray that God will help us, his people. Father in heaven, we know, Lord, that you can help every need.
Lord, we
thank you. Lord, help us in our hearts to reach out. Lord,
let us persevere.
Lord, to help us. Ask that you help
us. Jesus,
Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
let you bless us. Allow us to be here.
All these needs, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Praise you.
Oh.
Glory, glory,
God, hallelujah,
Jesus. Oh, blessed be your
Lord.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh,
glory, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory, glory.
Praise God.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Oh,
Jesus.
Oh, every need, Lord, spoken and unspoken request, Lord. Precious Savior, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Glory, glory, glory.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
I just wanted to get up and kind of break the mold a little bit. It was kind of funny. Brother Tally gets up and takes prayer requests, and it was one of those services where it seemed like, okay, I'm going to come in. It's Wednesday night. I've been working real hard and let my dogs out today, and that was a bad idea because now we have holes in our wall, so it's awesome. But so we I was going to come back to church, and we're going to sit back and relax and just let everybody else kind of work a little bit. But I wanted to just get up and just kind of break the mold a little bit and feel the Spirit. And I just wanted to give the Lord a praise for things that he's been doing for Brittany and I lately. I finally got my job, and it's going real smooth, and I'm kind of into it. But just when I feel like I'm getting comfortable, God wants to throw a spin my way and say, here's a door. Just so happened, I don't know if y'all know who Anthony Lucas is. He's a real big time. He used to play for the Razorbacks, and then he got drafted to the Packers. But he's been back locally ever since he got injured with a knee injury. And he actually offered me a job today. He called me and he said, I just got done with a budgeting meeting with a D1 company. There's about 10 of them throughout the country. And I'm going to have to make some changes. I need some sales guys, and I want you to be my head guy. So he's part owners, him and Steve Snyder, this other guy. So this so happens that they also run a company called Life Champs, and this company helps Mighty Might football teams, and basically it's like a Fellowship of Christian Athletes combined with that. And so they're teaching kids about Christ, but they're incorporating life lessons that you can learn through football. So I thought I was raised into that. I love sports, and that's kind of my element. I really feel comfortable in that, and I love to sell. So be praying for me on that. The Lord will find a way, because I was growing up. watching my dad be an entrepreneur and my grandpa both. When you and Sister Barry could probably testify to this, when you're an entrepreneur, you really have to lean on the Lord for income. And so that's nothing out of the element that I've seen before. But a lot of people that would be kind of, whoa, hang on a second. You know, I don't know if I feel comfortable with this. But I really feel being God's child, I know that He will never let me fall below my needs. And some of the other things that have been going on is we've had just my car lately, and my car's kind of old. it's getting up there in age. It's got 200,000 miles on it, you know. But it's a Honda, so you can drive those things to the ground. you know, Brittany was, we had been traveling, and you know, and when she had her little Civic, we've been doing some traveling. We got kind of crowded in it, and the dogs would get in there with us, and we like to travel with them and do this and that. And we're like, man, whether just, you know, man, we wish we had a way to get another car. And lo and behold, a wreck happens, and we have some insurance money, and so we pay off some bills and try and get another car for us, something that we really enjoy. And it looks like the Lord may come through with us. Looks like we put through an offer with a car, and it looks like the Lord may end up blessing us with it. So it's kind of a blessing in disguise, I guess, so to speak. We really are looking at a few things that we really enjoy, and I just wanted to just get up and give thanks to the Lord and for all the things that He's been doing for us. I know a lot of times we can come in and kind of take for what we have for granted. I was thinking about on the way to church, how, you know, oh man, we get to go to church, and how great is it that we actually have a church to come to tonight? There are a couple hundred churches in Haiti tonight that don't get to even function. They're probably out in some park somewhere having church. But if I know Haiti, or since I've been in the Dominican, it's the similar spirit of the body. It doesn't matter where you are, you can still worship and still touch the Lord and touch the Holy Ghost. And I was just thinking about how blessed we are and how spoiled I am to be able to come in and have this expectation. Okay, let's see, Brother Tally's probably going to get up and take prayer requests, and then we're going to play some kind of band song, or, you know, and, you know, this pastor may get up, Brother Durham may get up and teach us something, you know. But I don't want to be that way. I want to really feel out in the Spirit. I want to be able to, before we come to church, I wanted to be able to have a mindset that I'm going to come tonight with a purpose to be able to with each other, fill out my brother and sister, so we could really come in and touch the Lord. But I just wanted to get up and say how much I appreciate you guys, and how much I appreciate especially some of the parents of our youth for being able to handle those guys. But they're a really good group. I'm really thankful for them. I wouldn't trade them for nothing. As lovable as my dog is, I wouldn't even trade him for them. But I really love those guys, and I really appreciate y'all doing a great job with them and really encouraging us and backing us for our ministry, and Brother Smith. And I just really am thankful to be here tonight.
Everything that you have done. done for me. I thank you for the way you led me, oh, so patiently, from chains of sin that bound my soul. You came and tenderly unlocked them all, and now I know at last, dear Lord, I'm free. I thank you, Lord, for every truth you've planted down deep in my heart, for every time your blessings have rained and the glory has flooded my soul, for every trial and each test, dear Lord, you've brought me through. I've needed them all to make me worthy, my dear Lord, of you. Sometimes I fail to understand the things that are best for me. My feet may stumble and my eyes, Lord, may not always see. Please keep your hand upon my life and always let me be thankful, Lord, for saving my soul and keeping your hand on me. I thank you, Lord, for every truth you've planted down deep in my heart, for every time your blessings have rained and the glory has flooded my soul, for every trial and each test, dear Lord, you've brought me through. I've needed them all to make me worthy, my dear Lord, of you. Though I should give my life, dear Lord, and suffer for your name, though I should turn aside from wealth and shun all worldly fame, the price I've paid, I know, my Lord, could never be enough to pay the debt I owe to you for such undying love. I thank you, Lord, for every truth you've planted down deep in my heart, for every time your blessings have rained and the glory has flooded my soul, for every trial and each test, dear Lord, you've brought me through. I've needed them all to make me worthy, my dear Lord, of you. I thank you, Lord, for every truth you've planted down deep in my heart, for every time your blessings have rained and the glory has flooded my soul, for every trial and each test, dear Lord, you've brought me through. I've needed them all to make me worthy, my dear Lord, of you.
Thank you. Amen, Brother Durham mentioned testifying, so I guess I'll be obedient. Trying to contemplate really on if I should testify or not. I had a lady who came in applying for our insurance today. I had talked to her a couple of times, and she lives in Heber Springs. And she said she comes to Little Rock frequently and wanted to, you know, would rather come in and, you know, apply and make sure all her paperwork was in order and everything. And so anyway, the guards called me and I went down to meet her in the lobby. And she just seemed so, you know, happy to meet me. And then she asked me, she said, "Oh, have I got something to tell you?" And I was like, "Well, okay, you know." And she asked me what church I went to, and of course I told her, you know. And then the polite thing to ask is, "What church do you go to?" And so she told me in Heber Springs. But anyway, she told me this real incredible story. How she told me that she would be a good risk for us to take her, because in fact God has healed her, and you know, just to let you all know, she did tell me. She said, "I want you to tell your church, okay?" And so I told her I would, but she said that she had four types of cancer, and she had it for 18 months, and she said she had been praying and going through chemotherapy and radiation and everything, and she decided that was her last treatment. She wasn't going to go anymore, and they moved her from a skilled nursing facility and told her that they were going to set her up in hospice. And she said, "Oh no, I'm not ready for hospice yet." And you know, they explained to her, "We're not, you know, saying you're ready to go right away, but you know, to prepare you." And she said, "No, I'm not ready for hospice." So she was at home. She said it was on a Wednesday. She had to move in with her daughter because she had gotten so bad. And it was a Wednesday night. Her daughter had left to go to church, and she was laying there and she said, "You know, Lord, I'm just useless. You know what?" And I'm sorry, it really touched me. She had me crying. We were both crying, you know. But she, you know, she was just praying to God. And she said that she had been, you know, praying 18 months. And she said, "Lord, you know, what am I doing wrong? You know, what do I need to do? What would you have me to do?" And she said, "You know, I feel useless. I'm a burden to my daughter and her family and my sister, and I can't do anything." And she said, "Just take me, you know. Just call me home," is what she said. And she said, "But really, I'd just like to be a testimony for you." And she was praying, and she said the Lord told her, "Call your pastor and the elders of the church and have them come and pray for you using oil anointed as I've said in my word." And so she said she called her pastor and she told him, and so he was on his way coming, and she said it felt like forever for them to come. She said, "I wondered if they were bringing the whole bus." But anyway, she said finally the pastor's car pulled up, and she said and only one elder got out of the car, and she said that really discouraged her. And the Lord said, "No, don't be discouraged. There are many prayers in this house." And so they came in and they prayed for her, and she said they really touched the Lord, and she said she felt it. She said she felt it and knew that she had been healed. And she said the minister and the other elder, she said, I mean, they were just really feeling the power there and that touch. And she said they really didn't want to leave, but they had to go because it was Wednesday night. And so they left her. And when her daughter came home, you know, she told her daughter what had happened. She said, "I've been healed. I know that I've been healed." And she said the next day she got up and she was able to do laundry, fold the clothes, put everything away. And she said it had been months since she'd been able to do anything. But anyway, the following Friday, she had an appointment to go to the doctor for her MRI, PET scans, and all that stuff. And she, and I know her doctor, Dr. Brad Baltz, and anyway, they came in and they just kept looking at her like in disbelief. And she said, "What? You know, what is it?" And finally he said, "It's incredible. It is incredible. We can't find a thing. There is nothing there. Nothing is there." And so anyway, she is just so elated. And she told me, she said, "But you know," she said, "there is something else." She said, "God bless me. He anointed her with the gift of healing." And, you know, I was at work, and I wanted her to pray for me right then and there. I did, but, you know, I didn't know if I'd get in trouble or whatever. But anyway, it's just so wonderful. I mean, I just appreciate, you know, hearing stories like that. And just,
what did God do?
Call your pastor and the elders and have them come pray for you and anoint you as I have commanded you. I've read
did
it before.
Did he tell what he'd do for her there when he was telling her?
She was praying for healing. She said, she was saying, "Lord, you know, either take me, you know, or tell me what I'm doing." She said she had been praying 18 months for a healing, but she had lung cancer, she had bone cancer. I forgot another part. And she had breast cancer, and then also blood cancer, which I didn't know about that. But and then when also I forgot to tell you that. When Dr. Brad Baltz came in with the results, the MRIs, and he said, "We can't find anything," he said, "except we found these 6 spots in your brain." He said, "But they've already been taken care of. They've already been corrected." So it was so incredible, because it's like not only did God heal her for every ailment that they knew of, but there was stuff that she had that didn't show up before that showed up this time. And then it, whatever, you know, the x-ray show, it had been corrected. So anyway, y'all, I was just, I mean, like I said, she was crying when she was telling me her testimony. And I was crying. And she said, I have to, you know, spread my testimony and, you know, and be obedient to God. And she was so sincere, a wonderful, wonderful woman. And I wish she didn't live in Hot Springs, but I know we got to share the wealth. But anyway, I just appreciated her testimony. And like I said, she told me to tell y'all, so I wanted to share.
Testimony. And I asked her that question because I wanted to clarify. You know, she believed God. And she trusted, that was a woman who trusted God. And I think I've taught before that you cannot really have true faith unless God said. God told her to call her pastor and have them anoint her. Well, she obeyed because she had faith in what God told her. And he didn't even promise her that he'd heal her. From what you're saying, he just said, do this as I commanded. And so many times the Lord commands us. We've got scripture to do some things, and we spiritualize it. I don't want to go against anything, but sometimes we kind of make complicated. Sometimes I think it's just as simple as what it says. And but she had a trust in the Lord. She sought the Lord. She prayed. She asked the Lord. She wasn't ready to leave this earth just yet and die, you know. And so she trusted the Lord. And that's what we have to trust the Lord. And that trust comes from an intimacy with him through experience. You'll get experience, hope, and patience in your walk with God. The longer that you walk with him, the more you experience him, the more you learn to trust him. And the Lord wants to empower us, I believe. I think sometimes his commandments come across as the Lord, he doesn't want us to experience things just to keep us from experiencing things, or he just wants to deny just to deny us. And that's really not the Lord's way of doing things. He doesn't want to deny us pleasure. He doesn't want to just deny us just for his pleasure. But in the book of Hebrews, in 12:6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. That kind of sounds hard, but go on and read. If you endure the chastening, God dealeth with you as the sons. For what is a son is whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof you are all partakers, and I'll just clean it up here for America's sake, then you're illegitimate children, not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not be much rather in the subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for this present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which are hanged down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. But I wanted to go back, and he talks about chastening, and he talks about correction, and he says it's not for that he just out of some sort of denial, some sort of pleasure he gets out of denying us, you know, or some pleasure he gets out of just you seeing you do without, or sets a law up just for your, just to see if you'll break it or not. But he does it for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. And what is God personified? What is God, the extension of God down here? He exemplified it through his son, his character made known to man that he was love. That's who God's character is love. You know, I've got a little dog that I bought. Me and Brother Al drove 24 hours to go get that dog, didn't we, Brother Al? When I got her, she's about that big. I drove to Virginia and back to get this dog a little over a year ago. I got this dog because I wanted a good little squirrel dog, and I had a dog like that one time, and I drove all the way. And I love that little dog, you know, I tell you. Well, she got kind of stubborn as she was growing up. And when she got old enough to take to the woods, she'd get car sick. I had to clean her pen every time I'd take her. Then she got to where when we go hunting, she wouldn't come back because she didn't want to get back in the truck. So I had to play a few little games with her to get her back to come back to the truck. And then she found out that I play these games. And so she said, I'd say, when I'd call her, she'd get distracted out in the yard, she wouldn't come to me. And so she got to where she wouldn't come to me, and then I took her hunting, and one time she got out. I mean, it got to be a dangerous situation for the dog. And frustrating for me, I didn't want to take her hunting anymore. So one day, Brother Al was over the house, and I said, I got to deal with this. You're not going to like this. So I had to scourge and chasing my dog. Not because I'm a mean guy. Hi. Brooklyn's waving at me down there. Not because I'm just a mean old guy that doesn't like dogs and likes to beat on their dog. I'm just the opposite. If you know me, I'm in the floor and my dogs are licking me in my face and cleaning my ears and all the things that y'all think are gross. I love my dog, but I would hate my dog and I would treat it as something I hate if I didn't make this correction. And all it took with her was one session. And I can call that dog anytime and she will come to me. And I can take her hunting and I turn her loose. And when it's time to go, I can call her and she'll come to me. I can shoot a squirrel out, she can catch it, and I can catch her. I can catch her at the tree, I can do all that. Well, now there's some, I had a twofold motive. One, I want to be able to go hunting and enjoy my dog. But the other thing, it got dangerous. She got out on the road trying to get away from me. I don't know, it's a kind of a crude illustration. And I could apply it to my children, of correcting natural children. But the Lord wants us to have the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's why he set up. That's why we have principles that are preached across this pulpit. Well, the pastor preaches against this, preaches against this. Don't look at it that way. Find the principle. There is a, in the principle, you'll find a peaceable fruit of righteousness, and it's not so much to deny you of some pleasure that you want to do, but to experience a greater pleasure in what God has in store.